your call.
I texted her, so.
We will start the meeting of the regular board meeting, October 22nd, 2024, of the Board of Directors of the Sewage Commission Orville Region. Can we have a roll call?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Mastalato. Not here. She just texted me back. Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Thompson.
Here.
Commissioner Coach.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Flag salute, please stand. Raise the flag, raise your hand, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, acknowledgement of visitors.
So we have Mr. Jerry Legg from Class is here.
Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you.
Board meeting minutes, item number 5.
Yes, Mr. Chair, so we included the minutes from the last meeting in your packet. If there's any questions, we can, or if you guys notice that there was any errors, we can address that now.
Any board commissioners see anything noteworthy?
Now I'll make a motion that we adopt the meetings of the September 24, 2024 meetings.
I'll second that.
Motion second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So carried. All right. Next item is authorization of warrants.
Yeah, I went over the warrants with Glenn. Warrants paid at this meeting are numbers 29229-29249 through A, B and A. Bank of America, I'm assuming.
Yep.
And 3,000 through 3,037 through Golden Valley Bank in the amount of $3,442,775.14, including commissioner's checks numbers 11,500 through 11,505 and electronic fund transfers.
So just so you guys are aware, 3.25 million of that was deposited into the checking and money market accounts for Golden Valley. So we didn't spend 3.5 million this month.
It's in the process of moving from Bank of America to Golden Valley.
Yeah, we are moved now. We haven't closed the Bank of America totally because we're just making sure everything's.
Sure.
But we're operating out of Golden Valley now.
All right. I entertain a motion to approve warrants.
I approve them.
Oh, you approve them.
I'll second.
All those in favor of the warrants as presented, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So carried. Fiscal reports, number 7.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So we provided these, the September fiscal reports for your review in the packet. If you have any questions, I can answer those now. Also in the this item for the agenda, we included a draft budget for you guys to go over this month, and then bring me any questions over the month. We can hopefully fix them before the next meeting, or bring them at the next meeting, and we'll get them fixed for the meeting after that. But we'd like it to get it approved at next meeting. So if you could go over those during this month between meetings, that would be great.
Fiscal statements.
A budget?
She didn't give you a budget copy. If she didn't, I will make sure that you get one.
Yeah. I mean, I had a financial report.
You mean, the financial
no,
report?
No, it should be that blue thing right there is the audit.
That's the audit.
Yeah. Did I say budget? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No budget. We did that in July.
Right.
My fault. Audit. I'm sorry. My fault. Audit. So she gave you guys the audit. So if you guys could go over the audit over this next month, and then if you guys see anything wrong, let me know. I'll get it fixed. My fault.
Got it.
I was like, what do you mean? It's right there. I see it. I see it. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. So that's just information.
That's information. If you guys had any questions about the fiscal reports, I can answer those now.
Will be not seeing no questions. Item number 8, the CLASS, California Cooperative Liquid Asset Security System Investment. I guess that's Jerry.
That's Jerry.
Yep.
Thank you. Everyone, I'm Jerry Legg. I'm Senior Director of Investment Services for California CLASS. We are a local government investment pool that was started by CSDA and the League of California Cities. It is a permissible investment under Government Code 53601, subletter P as in Peter. There are no restrictions other than we have to have at least $500 million under management. We have to have been doing business for like 2 years. We've been doing business for more than 12. The company I work for, Public Trust Advisors, has over $90 billion in assets under management in 13 different pools around the country. California class is the one of the most recent. We have currently about $1.6 billion in assets under management. The way it works is different public entities are eligible to deposit excess funds short-term into the pool. We invest it. We've got 7 different portfolio managers out of Denver. That's all they do. They are licensed. They focus on getting the investments that not only meet government code, but that also are safe and liquid and still yield a good rate of return. We've got 6 different credit managers that are out there looking at all the different credits that are available to invest in, whether it's U.S. Treasuries or agency paper, it could be CDs, it could be corporate bonds, whatever is permissible in government code, that's all we can invest in. The purpose of this fund is for liquid money for you. So rather than having it sit in the bank, earn 2-3%, rather than it be sitting in LAIF where you get paid quarterly, you can earn money and get paid monthly and have full access to the money. There's no account fees, there's no maintenance fees or transaction fees. We have an administrative fee that's taken off the top, just like what LAIF does. It's 10 basis points or 0.1%. And that's taken off each month when you get paid. It's not something that you guys have to cut a check. It's taken off the top. So as of this morning, the yield on this pool was 4.9986. So that means that before the administrative fee, if we paid interest, it would have been 5.0986. So you get the net amount. We've got about 205 different entities that are participating in this. In your packet on the left-hand side is some pretty good information. This first colorful chart shows you what it is we're investing in a pie chart. And then also at the bottom, it shows you the split between the entities that we have as participants, both the number as well as the balances they bring to the table. So you'll see almost 80% of our participants are special districts for the sole reason there's a lot more of those than there are cities. But in terms of dollars, it's about a 51-42% split between cities and special districts. We do have a few counties, and then we have a few other entities like JPAs, like CSDA, SDRMA, the Special District Risk Management Association. I've got a list of the participants in the packet also. It's towards the back. And you can see that Lowellpud is a current participant. The city of Oroville is signed up, though they have not funded, because the account was opened up when Carolyn Fairbanks was still with us. And I just stopped by to see Brian Ring, but he was in a meeting, so I want to try to see if he might be able to fund the account. But we've got about 23 different cities throughout the state, probably about 170 special districts, and then you'll see the other listed there. There is a sewer authority mid-coast side that I see here as well, that you guys are probably familiar with. In terms of the yields, I told you what the yield was for today. As a public entity, we have to be fully transparent. We started back on July 1st of 2022, and on our website, you can find every single daily yield all the way back to when we started. This page shows you the monthly yields for the last 12 months. You'll notice that everyone was above 5%. It wasn't until the Fed cut on September 18th that our yield dropped pretty dramatically. You can see that from August, where it was at 5.40, September 30th, it was 5.04. So it's drifted down about 5 basis points since then. The thing to keep in mind is that we are focused on keeping the pool 60 days or less in average maturity. So we're very close to where the Federal Reserve is. You keep hearing the Fed's going to cut, the Fed's going to cut. whenever they cut, we're kind of in lockstep with them. So they cut by 50 basis points, our yield came down 40. It still has a little bit that'll probably trend downward. If they cut another 0.25%, our yield will go down 0.25%. So if somebody wants me to have a crystal ball and say, well, where are you going to be in a year? If the Fed cuts 1%, we'll go down by 1%. But keep in mind, those yields go down for everybody. It's not just for class. So that's going to impact LAIF. It's going to impact the banks. It's going to impact everybody, because we all invest in the same thing. Also in the packet, I've got performance here for LAIF. So you can see for their September yield, they were at 4.575. We were at 504. LAIF pays you quarterly. They don't really pay you monthly, although they cite that yield. So what that means is that if you were to deposit with class, we would pay you interest, we'd pay you interest, we'd pay you interest before they pay you once. So your money's compounding several times before they pay you once. If rates do drop and by some miraculous thing LAIF is higher, take your money out of class and put it back in LAIF. Or if there's a CD that a bank has and you don't need that money, go ahead and get the CD. The job that you guys have is to manage the funds for the district the best way you can, with safety, liquidity, and then yield. So you have same day access to this money with class. We're AAA rated, which is the highest you can get. If you submit a transaction before 11 a.m., you can get the money out and put it back in your bank. Do whatever you need. You can also make those deposits. We do wire transfers, we do ACH as well. So keep in mind, we don't charge fees, but your bank will. So ACH is a lot cheaper than doing it via wire.
Hi.
Hi, Angie, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
So we would recommend that you look at doing ACH. ACH is always going to be a next day transaction. If you're funding your account through ACH, we actually go and pull the money out for you. If you're receiving money, we'll push it back to you. But you would go on our website, you would put in the instructions, and then we'll make the transaction happen as per your instructions. You can have as many sub-accounts as you want. So if you have one for maintenance, one for vehicles, one for general fund, you can split that money out. So from an accounting standpoint, it makes it really easy for you. You can do transactions down to the penny. At State Treasurer's Office with LAIF, it has to be $1,000 increments. There's no minimum balance. You can have a zero balance. You're not going to get penalized, as the city of Oroville. You know, that's been zero since they opened it last year. There's no maximum balance. You can put as much as it in as you want. In terms of, I mentioned the AAA rating, we do have a client services number, both an 800 number as well as email, but you also have my phone number. On all the documents, it's got the phone numbers at the bottom if you have any questions. There's other entities in the area that are participating. I know Chico Area Recreation District is on here. I think Feather River Resource Conservation District just joined. Gold Mountain Community Services District. So we've got quite a few over in this area of Butte County. I can take questions if there's any questions.
Mr. Got questions?
I have one question, but
sure.
You may have already answered it about the ACHs.
Yeah.
So if we send out an ACH, does it take 2 or 3 days for someone to receive it?
No, this is next day, and this is when you're funding the account or pulling money back to your checking account.
Oh, okay.
So it's next day.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really like a checking account where you're sending out payment to an ACH. It's just
okay.
Into the pool and out of the pool.
Yeah, we have a delay in all of our ACHs that come in and go out. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your bank should offer same day ACH. So that may be a question you want to ask them.
Okay.
If they can do same day ACH for payments going out. Typically, as long as it's submitted before 10 a.m., it's same day.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's going to be a next day. I think they've really gotten away from 2-day ACH since they started doing the same day, but that's a question for the bank.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you have any restrictions on your investments like PERS does?
So PERS gets into some of the ESG, the environmental and social.
Right.
No.
So the legislature can't tell you.
No, we don't do that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm against it. I mean, it's ruined purse.
Yeah.
And I always love the word unfunded liability. And I said, no, that's your failed investment.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know why they use that term other than they're not telling people the story. That's why, I mean, City of Warrenville a year ago had zero. Now we have 11 million.
Excuse me?
What'd we do? Nothing. They failed in their investment.
Exactly. And they're kind of limiting themselves as to what they can do.
Yeah.
So I do have a copy. I can't remember, Glenn, if you said you had an existing investment policy or if that's something you're going to be developing.
We will have to develop, yeah.
But I do have a copy. This is put out by the State Treasurer's Office. That's a list of all the permissible investments under government code.
Gotcha.
And it gives you, I can send you an electronic copy too. Ryan, I'm sure that you want to see this.
Yep. Thank you.
So that's put out by CDAC, the California Debt Investment and Advisory Commission. It lists the code section reference that's permissible. It lists the restrictions. So this is something that when people are developing their investment policy, and maybe take a step back here, I've got almost 30 years experience in public finance in California. I worked at the State Department of Finance. I worked at the State Treasurer's Office with LAIF. I've been the head of government banking for banks for like 17 years now. So I know investment policies, I know government code, but a lot of districts don't have the staffing to do this kind of thing. And this chart is gold because you can just put it behind your investment policy and say, see attachment one. It lists everything very clean and succinct. It's updated every year. You should update your investment policy each year and get additional authority each year. But it gives the board the ability, this is what's permissible, you can always manage it tighter. So if it says you can invest in CDs out 5 years, you can always say, we want to do 2 years. That's your purview. You guys can do that. But this shows you what's permissible out there. We're limited to whatever is in government code because we're a JPA, we're a public entity. So that's, we've got the same restrictions.
I have a question. I was reading your documents here.
Sure.
It's more of an interest thing. It down here notes it says wildfire fund loan pursuant to public utility code. What is that? It's down in the small print.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a wildfire fund. Do you happen to know what that is?
Is that on the...
Yeah,
that's from the State Treasurer's Office. So you'll notice if you look at the yields on a monthly basis, they only have like 4.506, 4.579, 4.5. And then if you look at the apportionment rate to the left, it's 4.71. Well, how do those average out to give you a higher number? It's because they have other investments outside of this, and part of it is that wildfire fund.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I have no idea what they're investing in, but that's what that's referring to.
Yeah. It's just funny. I saw that and I go, what is this? All right.
But you guys currently have money on LAIF, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is what you're investing in. Also of interest, on the second page of that, it shows you the daily rates. And you'll see that LAIF is already coming down as well. So around September 19th, 20th, it was at 4.6. It's down to 4.53 as of the 16th. So it's not going to move quickly because it's commingled with the pooled money investment account, all the state departments and agencies. It's about $161 billion. So it's like trying to three-point turn the Titanic. It takes time to move that. So their yield will come down, and at some point, class could be lower than this. Like I said, if that's the case, pull the money out of class and put it over there. So whatever you guys can do to stretch that interest earnings, because every dollar of interest, one less dollar, you have to raise fees or something. And that's a lot harder to do than kind of managing money a little tighter.
I was looking through your list of participants. I was just at the Monterey Airport. You gotta get those guys hooked up because they're doing very well there.
Yeah, we're trying. You know, there's only three of us covering the state. There's 3,000 districts, 484 cities.
Well, I didn't realize that is actually a special district.
It is.
Yeah, it's very unique.
Yeah.
They are very well funded.
We do have, I think it's the Santa Maria Airport District is listed here. Yeah. So we do have, let's see.
I think it's Monterey.
Santa Maria Public Airport District is listed.
Yeah.
And I think that we have the Truckee Tahoe Airport as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just, it's an interesting thing because, like, we have an airport and we deal with a separate fund, but I wish we had an airport district like Monterey does because it's a completely separate animal. It doesn't draw down from the city. It's running their own show. It's really being very successful what they do there, and they have their own elected board and so on and so forth. So it's just an interesting thing that I was looking at.
Yeah.
Kind of be a good client to get.
Yeah.
They've done very well. I happen to know that their attorney have to be
Scottish. I do know their attorney too. It's not me.
No,
it's not. The person used to sit in my chair though.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we were sitting there talking about it, and he said, "Morrill, yeah." I said, "Well," and he was online talking to the board. And, "What's Pittman doing there?" I said, "Well, yeah. How come you're not here?" He wasn't there. He was on. It was funny, maybe. Anyways, fascinating information. Commissioners, have any questions? No, it looks good to us. I mean, to me, I know the city's. If Carolyn has worked on, she passed away.
So. Right.
Probably catch up. We're going to catch up with it.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions, folks? No? Looks good. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you. Very appreciate good. The time.
Very thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. I definitely
thank you,
worth looking at.
Take care.
Yeah,
have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Clint.
Of course.
Well, number 9 is on-call and certification pay. Number 9.
Before we moved on, would you guys like me to bring this back agendized for next month's meeting for you guys to vote on?
I think, personally, I'd like to see a comparison between that and life, you know, if we can make some more money on it. I mean, that's to my interest. That'd be great. I mean,
sounds good. We can do that.
Yeah. So we have a comparable look at it. You know. I know life has its restrictions, and sounds like this is a little better deal.
It's a lot more. Flexible. A lot of, you know, you can do things a little quicker and a little, but I just like that they have higher rates. And right now we have a pretty good chunk of money in the bank, and it's like I'd like that to make as much money for score as possible. So,
yeah.
I know Loepud switched over to class, and that's how I found out about it. Dave was like, "Hey, you need to look at this. You guys have a lot more money than us to invest. It'll pay off for you." So I started talking to Jerry, and I was like, "Okay, for sure, the board needs to hear this." So,
well, and I like the point that you can actually put different funds in different accounts, so that when you do at the end of the year, you can say, "Okay, we have this much for maintenance, this much for, you know, whatever accounts we have." That's kind of a nice way to break it down. So mm-hmm. The bookkeepers don't chase you around the block looking for your foot. What was this for?
So yeah, we can, myself and Micah can put together some sort of comparison for you guys to look, so you can compare apples to apples, and we can put it on the agenda next month for you guys to make a decision.
Sounds good.
Okay. Very good, thank you.
And speak with all, see what the comparison.
Yeah.
How it's working out in real life for them. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Not a problem.
All right, we're moving to number 9, on-call certification pay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, so last month, Commissioner Thompson asked that we bring these items to the meeting for this month. He asked me what holes we might have for retention as far as where we're maybe not meeting the market standards. So my answer was in on-call and certification pay. This is the only two places that were kind of egregiously under what the market is. Everything else, we're right there with them. As far as like pay and benefits and all that stuff. So we conducted a little local area survey here. If you guys can look at the TVs, we got score on here. We'll start with the, standby pay. So score, we pay $15 a day. Commissioner Coach was here when that got enacted, probably, I think, 98 or 99, something like that. So it's been a long time since that was looked at and talked about. So as you can see, Chico, they get 3 hours of straight time to do it. So I just used the average of what our on-call operators are certified at now in their pay steps. So for us, for their hourly pay. So for us, ours works out to about 63 cents an hour to be on call. You can see for Chico, they're getting $5.11 to be on call. Yuba City's getting $2.45 to be on call. Redding's getting about $2.55 to be on call.
There's a printout of this in your packet.
Yeah, and then the pink sheet has this on there. Mount Shasta's $1.78. City of Oroville, who's one of our JPA members, $2 an hour. Loepud's $1.04 an hour. And Thermalito's got a really good deal. If you're in the on-call pool, you get 5% increase to your
salary.
I don't particularly like that one because I could see someone trying to take advantage of trading their stuff out but still getting 5%. Now, obviously, their other operators would probably tell them no. Yeah, but I mean, that one I don't really think would work for us. So we kind of just looked at all that and you know, obviously we don't want to do anything that's egregious and it's going to hurt SCORE's budget terribly, but we thought, you know, a fair compensation for the guys would be either 1 hour straight time or 1 hour overtime. So using that average of $40.19 an hour, which is what the guys that are on call make currently averaged out, some of them make a little bit more and some of them make a little bit less, but 40.19 is the average. So as you could see, that would be not quite three times what we pay them now. So a significant raise, that would be at straight time. Significant raise for being on call, but still a little under where the rest of the people are. But considering this is, you know, Commissioner Thompson asked for this and the crew didn't even bring this up, I think they're going to be ecstatic with anything you guys would approve if you were to approve anything. Now, nothing's agendized today to approve. This is all for information. If you guys request me to bring it back next month, then that's what we'll do. But I just wanted you guys to see the differences and see our recommendations, what we would be at. So our recommendation would be your choice, 1 hour straight time or 1 hour on call or overtime. Overtime would significantly increase that to about 60, 65 or 62 an hour or something right around there. So like I said, I think that 1 hour straight time would be more than fair. That's a pretty significant increase for the guys. I don't think we would have to go to the overtime.
What's the requirements on callback? Is there
half hour response time? Can't be out of a half hour of response time, so they can't be 30 minutes away from the plant. So, or like for instance, because I live in Chico, it took me 26 minutes to get here. So I had all my boots, everything in the truck. I got a call. I'm dealing with them in the truck because I don't have time, and that we don't have any operators that live in Chico currently. They all live here, so they're not strapped like that. But it's serious, and you can't live without. I mean, when I got the job, Commissioner Coach was the manager. He Googled my address. If it would have said 31 minutes, he would not have hired me. You know, it's got to be within 30 minutes. So it's pretty restrictive. It really is. It's pretty restrictive on the guys. Obviously, they can't drink. They can't do, you know, they can't go out on the lake because they can't get back to the dock in a half hour. You know, it's pretty restrictive for the guys. But
so can you explain the standby? Because $15 for a whole day. So if they don't have any call, they just make the $15.
They just make the $15. Yep. And if they get called out, it's a 2 hour minimum call out.
And then they get time and a half or double time?
They get time and a half.
2 hours overtime for that.
Yeah, they get 2 hours of time and a half for that. If something happens within that 2 hours, so it's kind of just a judgment call on kind of my part. So if they come in, fix one problem. If the same problem happens again within that 2 hours, I don't pay them again. Because I'm like, you didn't fix it. You came down here, you did some whatever you did, but you didn't fix it. And it's the same problem and you're still paid for 2 hours. So now if they go over the 2 hours, obviously they got to get paid. Yeah. But if it's a separate problem, then typically we go ahead and give them a second call out because they couldn't have prevented it in the first call out because it was a completely unattached issue. So they have the 30-minute response time. They have the 2 hour minimum call out. Typically, some of the stuff they deal with on the phone, we don't pay them for that. Some places do. I don't know the law on that, if they're supposed to get paid. That would be Ryan's area.
I need to talk to my employment.
Yeah. Some places pay him for a phone call. We don't. My thought is there's a lot of give and take here, and I'm not going to pay you to be on the phone for 5 minutes. And I've told them, because some of them said something like, hey, and I went, well, that's fine. Then when you get called out, you stay here for 2 hours.
Seems reasonable.
Because SCORE's paying you for a full 2 hours. So if you want to nickel and dime me, I'll nickel and dime you back.
This is what they're getting now?
They're getting $15 an hour, or $15 a day right now.
You're looking for an increase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's why the $15 came up.
Yeah.
The phone calls and everything.
Gotcha, yeah.
The other day.
I'm a stickler on that. I won't pay him for talking on the phone, because I don't make them stay for 2 hours. If they come down here and fix a problem in 15 minutes, they go home. They get paid for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, it's like, well, if you want to count every minute, SCORE can count every minute too. So we don't, we kind of try to stay away from that. So that's the standby pay. The next one that we talk, so the other part of the standby pay is we have the supervisors that are on standby. Now they're, in my opinion, they're actually, they have a way worse deal than even the operators. Now the difference being they don't get called as much. So the supervisor on call, his role is to be backup and make decisions that are over the head of the operator that's on call, and also to be his second guy in case they need to get into an electrical bucket or do some maintenance that requires two people, which most maintenance will require two people, if you're, especially if you're getting into any type of power. That's a score policy. You can't do that without a second person. So
how many supervisors? Just the two of you?
Micah and Mitch. I'm not in the on-call rotation.
Oh, okay.
So Micah and Mitch are on the in the on-call rotation, and they get 1 week of vacation per year.
For being on call.
For being on call. Now, when you break that down, it's 49 cents an hour to be on call, and they're on call for 26 weeks out of the year.
You guys swap that back and forth?
They do.
Every other week.
So they're he can't go within a half hour of this facility for 26 weeks of the year. That's pretty restrictive, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, and for
all your family live in town?
For one week of vacation.
So how do you take a vacation?
Well, they trade around it.
They trade.
You trade?
Yeah, Mitch will take it for two weeks in a row, or I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
And that's why
we just recently traded.
I do take it for them sometimes if they're in the bind. I don't make them. I'm not like, oh, you know, no. If they need somebody to take it, I'll take it. You know, it's not, that's not a problem. But I mean, I get 12 weeks of admin leave for being at board meetings. Or 12 days, I'm sorry.
They get 12
days. 12 days. Yeah. Scott's like, can I have my job back, please? So I get 12 days. That's seven more than they get. And now I'm on call all the time, technically, right? It's my baby. My name's on the wall. So they can call me when I'm in Hawaii and I got to come back. Like, that's reality. Theirs is pretty restrictive for only a week of vacation. I didn't really have a recommendation for theirs for you guys. I figured we'd kind of discuss it here and figure out what we thought was fair. We'd thrown some stuff around, like maybe give them another week vacation. The other supervisor was like, I have plenty of time off. I don't need another week of vacation. So his suggestion was, if you want to give me another week of vacation, let me sell it back. Which some agencies have that, where you can sell a week of vacation back. So that could maybe kill two birds with one stone. You can maybe give them 2 weeks of vacation and then let them sell one back. But you'd have to open that opportunity up to everybody to let them sell back vacation. So that's another can of worms. I don't know if we really
want to
get into.
You can't just do it for supervisors?
You probably could, but I think that it's going to... They might be like, hey, I'd love to sell back a week of vacation right before Christmas, and then I don't got to take anything out of my bank account to get my kids stuff. You know, I researched that too, and the places that do have that have rules around it. So you can't just get a week of vacation and sell it. You got to have a week on the books remaining after, because they don't want you to put yourself in a spot where now it's like, I'm taking unpaid
vacation.
Yeah, I'm taking unpaid leave if something weird happens or whatever. So that was one idea I thought about. Obviously, we could pay them as well, an hour of pay for every hour, for their days that they're on call too. I don't want to speak for Micah or Mitch and what they would prefer, but I didn't really have a recommendation, because the problem with that one is no other places really have supervisors on call like that. We're one of the only ones. Now, I personally think it's a really good policy.
Yeah.
I think it really provides a level of confidence for the guys that they can operate, but they know that there's somebody at the end of the line that can help them out and back them up if they need. I always like that. I always like to be able to call Commissioner Coach and ask him questions and lean on him. I think it's valuable. I think it's worthwhile having the supervisors on call. They don't really like it at all, but it is what it is. But I do think that they're not compensated as fairly for the amount of time that they do have to sacrifice to be on call.
So are you looking for a number today?
We're not. I was going to bring this.
Just discussion.
This is just discussion, and for your guys' information, like I said, I had no plans to do this. I've known this has kind of been someplace where we're below market for a while, but you guys have also done a lot for the crew since I've been the manager. You guys let them go to 410s. There's been a lot that the scoreboard has done for this crew since I've been the manager. So I didn't feel like it was the time to come and ask, but when Commissioner Thompson said, hey, bring it, let's look at it.
How many crews are on call?
So right now there's four. Full staff, there'll be five, but Sam, our newest operator, is not certified high enough to be on call yet. Previous, we were able to put operator twos on call because we were short-staffed, so we filed with the state for what's called lone operator on duty. They'll let you get away with it, but now we're not in a position where we're short-staffed, so he's going to have to be a three to go on call. So that's another year before he'll be there.
There's four right now?
There's four right now.
Four right now.
And then the two, and then the two supervisors.
So they're doing 13.
They do 9-week rotations.
They do a 9-week, because there's a weekend guy too. So it kind of, so right now we have one guy that's on the weekends and we have three rotating the week shift. Mm-hmm. And the weekend guy, it's, I gave him the option to go to 1 week on call and not really have a
1 week a month?
Yeah, 1 week a month or rotate every 5 weeks of them. But they really like to not be on call on their days off. So the way it is right now, if you're the weekend guy, you work, you're only on call Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. You're not on call when you're off. If you're the Monday, if you're a weekday guy, you're on call only Monday through Thursday or Tuesday through Friday. You're not on call on your days off, which they love that. They love to be able to be like, I'm off, I'm gone, I'm doing what I want to do. Personally, I would prefer to have a week on call and just get it out of the way and not have to deal with it better for another 4 weeks. But I let them make that choice, and that's the way they wanted to run it. So,
I have a question.
Sure. I guess the only thing that I appreciate this, the main thing that I'm looking for that I'm also missing in this is a couple options and what that would cost on an annual basis.
Yep, for sure.
And then what account that would be coming out of, what's in that account, how that would affect, you know, our budgets, you know, and all of that. So that's, I mean, my initial response personally would be, you know, wanting to match something, you know, obviously Chico's way up there.
Yeah.
But Yuba Redding doesn't seem crazy outlandish.
No, my thought was we kind of maybe look at it like a median, throw ours out being the lowest one, throw Chico's out being the highest one, and then kind of figure out an average from there.
And then what that would cost on a basis.
Yeah. For sure.
Like, you know, a Lullapod, you should be even at least with a Lullapod.
But this is a sewer plant. So are any of these sewer plants that we're comparing these to?
Redding,
Cuba, the only one that's not is you guys.
Mount Shasta.
Yeah, the only ones, and the only reason we threw them in there. Yeah, and the only reason we threw those in there is because you guys are our JPA members.
Seven stations, you know?
So we didn't think, you know, we thought it would be a good comparison to show.
On call for just that extra amount. Yeah, there's an
overall cost analysis.
Yeah, for sure.
Was out up where you and I live.
Yeah, we can totally, you know, for next month, that was kind of my plan, is to kind of talk about it this month and then figure out which direction you guys kind of would like to look at it. And then next month we can bring the financial implications of what all the options would be, and then you guys could decide if you wanted to move forward or if you wanted to wait.
Plus 4 hours of time for holidays.
I'm all for doing what we can. I know our guys, you said they're happy, but I'm all for doing what we can so that...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, are comparable and are
right next to the lake.
You know, guys want to stick around.
Yeah, for sure.
It costs way more to hire new people.
That's for sure, and train them up. Yeah, because then you're 3 years away from a guy even being able to be in the rotation and stuff. The only other one that we kind of were thinking about here, and it's one that scored we have. It's the one I told you about last month, where we if you have a grade 4 out of your class, then we pay you 72 cents an hour for that. That's also been about 20 years since that was implemented, and it's not been changed at all since then. So our thought on that was, since that got implemented, we've had 69% inflation. So if you add that 69% to the 72 cents an hour, it comes out to $1.22 an hour for cert pay. I would like to get it somewhere around there and then add the COLA to it every year so it stays, so we don't have to do this again in 10 years when it's dropped back behind or whatever. But currently only Mitch, who is a grade 4 in the foreman position, which only requires a grade 3, would get that. And Josh Sorensen, who's an operator, he has a class A license, and he would be eligible for it too. Now, I told the guys, I said, none of this is guaranteed. None of it might even happen. If it did happen, you're not going to go get a water distribution cert and come get extra money for it. Like, it's got to be applicable to SCORE and make SCORE better. Like,
you know, your CPR cert's not going to get you extra money, you know. So I explained it, but we can put all that in policy so you guys can be comfortable. But so I guess at this point, I'm just looking for direction, which it sounds like I got a little bit.
I think that seems fair. Just bring it up to updating it to inflation.
Yeah, I like your strategy where you look at high and low and hit the middle. Mm-hmm. I'd say bring that back to the board for a suggestion.
Okay, we'll bring that back next month.
I just have a question about Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
So it's 300 a week. What does that mean? So they have, they're on call a whole week and then they're off?
Yeah, I don't know how their rotation works, but if they're on call, they get $300 extra for that week.
So they're on call just 1 week, and then they're off the rest of the month? Is that how that
It
would
depends
work?
On how many guys they have. If they have two guys, and they're on call every other week. Mm. Yeah, it just depends on how big they're.
Here.
Yeah.
When I was an operator, I
was on call every other week. We only had three operators when I was the operator. So we had one weekend guy. He was on call Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then me and the other guy switched it every week.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
It just seems like a lot of your personal time, you're on standby, and you really don't make a lot of money unless you're called out.
Correct. That's true. Now, you know, to play devil's advocate in Score's favor, all these guys knew that when they took the job, and they're paid well. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, they're not... I don't want, this is not to like really make them a bunch of extra money. More in my mind, it's to make it not a burden.
Yeah.
Because currently it's a burden, right? Currently one of them goes, hey, we're going on vacation. Can someone take the on-call? I mean, nobody volunteers because there's no monetary incentive to take it. Mm-hmm. I mean, $15, I mean, I used to get $40 extra on a paycheck for being on call twice during that, you know, after taxes and everything. But it's part of the job. So like, I don't want you to feel like,
oh, no one's complaining.
Yeah, they're not complaining. Right. They're not victims. They're not being mistreated. It's part of the gig. Like we all know, and they knew when they signed up, but you know, it is not what market standard is.
Well, public service employment is a completely different animal. I know the fire department, we had 14 different pay rates based on whatever it was, comp time training, comp time, da-da-da-da-da. Yep. So this is just another example of that type of service need that we at least get fair compensation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're all about here. That sounds like a reasonable idea.
Yeah, that was a great idea to check into this.
Yeah.
Much better than it used to be.
That's for sure. Well, you guys got nothing.
We got nothing. We had three operators, so we were on call for 4 months
all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they would just split the year up into 4 months. Yeah.
I remember a day when I never got overtime. You just got days off. And you had to work overtime. You just got time to take off. That was it. No overtime pay.
No, yeah, it's definitely better. That's what I'm saying. I don't want you guys to think that these guys are, you know, indentured servants out here or nothing. That's not the case. They're well taken care of and they're compensated. But, you know, this is one area where Score is not up to market. Everywhere else, we're great. But this is one that we're not.
Okay. Okay, that was just informational.
Yep.
Look forward to something coming back to us. Looks like item number 10 is the attorney's report. Welcome.
Yeah, it's good to see everybody in person. Sorry, I missed a few meetings. Nice to be able to remote in sometimes. I've been working with general manager on a couple of different legal matters. The only one I want to kind of update, we're not in closed session, but the K&M litigation is still out there. There's no substantive changes, which is why we didn't ask for a closed session. Just some procedural things like some discovery we're continuing to ask for. I know we did have a closed session a few meetings ago. Everything related to that is still kind of moving forward, but no significant enough updates to warrant going into closed session. If there are, and I suspect there might be, maybe by the next board meeting in November, we'll call it then. But that's really my report. Everything's going well from a legal perspective.
Do you hear any potential court dates in the future?
Just court dates on, there's a motion, we're filing a motion to compel some discovery, but I would consider that a non-substantive hearing date. There are no trial dates, nothing dispositive in terms of hearing dates, yeah.
Well, the old story, no news is good news, huh? All right, thank you, sir. Manager's report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, so, no operational issues to report this month. We completed sludge season.
We pulled our quarterly samples on 10/15, so no problems with those. Doing great there. I have a JPA meeting scheduled for the 29th with the three entities and their managers to discuss ADUs. We also have, we're in the process, probably looks like the first week of November, we're gonna nail it down, maybe November 4th. We're gonna have a second meeting with Steve Lucas from LAFCO. He said that our first meeting and the information that he took back went over very well at the Board of Supervisors meeting. He said Supervisor Connolly even stopped saying consolidation. So I think that's forward progress there. So I will let you guys know, obviously.
He and I had a long talk about it. He's backing off.
Good. And so I will, I think we can accomplish everything that he wants accomplished without doing anything crazy like that.
Certainly.
So I will fill you guys in on the next meeting. Just a reminder, the next meeting is on a Wednesday, November 20th. We had to move it because of the Thanksgiving and the conflict with the City of Oroville's council meeting. So just so everyone remembers, next month, it's Wednesday, November 20th.
Gotcha.
And that's all I have for the manager's report.
Okay. Looking around the room for visitors, don't see any visitors. Item number 13, Commissioner and staff comments. Any staff comments or visitors?
I have a comment. Yes. We're currently out to bid on a construction management firm for the plant upgrade process. Okay. That bid closes November 1st. Okay. And so in November, we'll be bringing a contract to hire a construction management for the upgrade, and we'll be going out to bid for construction of the upgrade relatively soon here.
Good. That's good to hear.
Just FYI.
There's some pictures there of a apartment complex. You might pass that down the line. That's it looks like they're gonna make it go. It's 128 units of apartments and 100,000 square feet of retail space at Lincoln and Mitchell. It's gonna be a different complex, but anyway, you probably got the same maps. That's
you got the right those.
But there'll be veterans in those units too, won't there?
No, oh, market rate.
Market rate apartments.
Oh, market rate.
Yeah, market rate. Yeah, it's not affordable at all.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And their parking is going to be in the basement.
On an elevator thing where you park your car and then it takes your car down on an elevator.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We'll see how that's like.
It's really interesting. Because
I think they're going to replace that with a ramp, but I'm just
ain't really going to work.
I've never seen one of those
happen. I think I prefer a ramp. Myself.
I think they haven't dug down yet because that's rock hole.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be in the river bottoms there.
Yeah, it's like, they've never dug
in. They might find some gold.
They might.
I want to get a geology report first.
Yeah, exactly. Get a geotechnical report.
You dig a 4-foot hole and it's 20 feet wide at the top.
Uh-huh. Digging in a bowl of marbles.
Yeah. That and then I guess we'll call for adjournment. Yes, please.
That's okay. So just with just want to keep it in front of us the purple pipe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes.
Nice. It's really nice.
Is there any possibility of more grants for that?
Yeah.
Right now we're working on planning grants. Right now all the money for like actual construction projects for purple pipe and recycle water is
planning grants.
Good for old people. They
just in the upgrade as you go again having that. I'm not sure what that would look like, but to have it so that as we develop, that's in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not if we would have put a pipe right there or...
Yeah, no. For us, what will end up happening when we do it, it'll end up, we'll tie into our effluent line down here, and then we'll have probably a little pump station here on this part of the property. So, we won't do anything here that would make that harder for us, for sure.
Maybe make it easier.
Yes, 100%.
And I think it's regarding the city, the crazy cost of water.
We've got to sell the house, but we've realized we can't. She's taking care of all that land.
No.
Yeah,
it would really help.
For sure.
Had an
alternative
source of water.
100%. That's my plan. That's always been my plan, is to get us to that
like
point.
That, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, hopefully.
Do you have any idea what that would cost?
Yeah. Walkway.
No, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame for SCORE. Not that I don't want to get into it, but it's a whole different ballgame. The treatment levels are way higher. The testing requirements are way higher. If we can get grant money to do it, it's a no-brainer,
Would that be state grant or federal?
Well, right now, the state ones, the state money is kind of, is, like I was telling Commissioner Thompson, it's kind of dried up on that, but there's still federal money for ag reuse.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we've kind of changed our look, is to maybe look at the federal money for ag reuse. But it doesn't matter where we get the money from. There's going to be a T on the pipe. One T faces the ag use, and the other T faces the city of Oroville, you know? So it's just, I'm just looking at how to fund it.
Oh, yeah.
And then once we fund it, then we can use it for whatever we want to use it for.
Would step one be looking for grants, or would step one be in assessing what the cost of it?
Step one would be doing a
plan.
Yeah, a feasibility study.
Yeah.
So basically finding customer, and then
go. Well, there's definitely customers.
Exactly.
But
you have to highlight those. The study, well, we can get grant for that.
Okay.
Yeah,
So.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying.
On it.
Yeah, we're trying. That one I think we can get a grant for, though, for a feasibility study to see if how we would use it, where would be best uses.
There's a million uses in Oroville.
Yep, for sure.
Yes.
Sidewalks look great.
Thank you. So, yeah, we're
getting progress.
Absolutely. Step one, get the feasibility study.
Yep.
And then maybe I'll talk to, I don't know if Lamoff, I can with some arms.
He's already helped us out. I mean, we did get $2 million out of his office for the plan upgrade, so yeah, I'm sure he could.
Yeah. But if he could twist some shoulders, some arms down there at the Capitol.
For sure.
Over at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would really help out our...
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
That's all I got.
All right, anybody else got something for the good of the order? Seeing none, I will then adjourn this meeting for the next regular meeting to be held on Wednesday, November 20th at 5 p.m. And thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you for the-